Okay, well, while we're waiting there, maybe this pause was something that was needed. You all know that I always like to have something a little humorous, so, and I wasn't planning to do this, but since we're waiting for batteries, we'll go ahead with this one. I was reading where there was a passenger in a taxi. And so the passenger reached over and kind of tapped the driver on the shoulder to kind of get his attention. And lo and behold, the taxi driver, he screamed, he lost control of the car, he nearly hit a bus, he went up on the footpath, stopped just inches from the glass window of a shop door. So everything was very quiet in the car for a second. And the driver goes, "Man, don't ever do that again. You scared the living daylights out of me." Now, the passenger apologized, but he said, "I didn't realize that a little tap would scare you so much." The driver replied, "I'm sorry. It's not really your fault. Today's my first day as a cab driver. You see, I've been driving a funeral car for the last 25 years. So you can imagine who he thought was tapping him on the shoulder. Now, obviously this story has nothing to do with the message today, but you know, I like to throw something in there. It tries to hold the attention of everybody a little bit, especially for the youth. I think the youth enjoy that, but I think some of the older folks enjoy it too. So anyway, hopefully we'll have your attention for the next 20 or 30 minutes, and so off we go. But let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to just be with us as I bring this message. Father, you're the one that shows us your ways, and you're the one that teaches us all that you have to show us. And we just ask that you would be with me and help me to bring this message that I believe you wanted me to bring today. It's a simple message, but nonetheless, something that I think you want us to understand a bit more. We're just so thankful. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us, help us to hear, help us to not just hear, but to be doers of the word. And we're thankful, Father, for your presence. We're thankful for your salvation. We're thankful for all that you do in our lives. And bless this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at the end of October last year, some of you will remember that I spoke about the parable of the vine and the branches. And I mentioned at that time that Jesus used parables to explain to people who live in a temporal and a world about truths in an eternal world, okay? We're so used to using our five senses, aren't we? Touch, taste, smell, sight, hearing. Well, Jesus used parables to help people escape from the realm of the senses to the realm of the real. What we touch, what we taste, smell, see, hear is temporary. It's not going to last. It's transient. It's all going to come to an end. But what is truly real, we cannot see. Because these are spiritual things. They're eternal things. So what Jesus does is he talks about something that is familiar to everyone, or at least to these listeners, to help them understand something that is unfamiliar to them. Something in the seen world corresponds to something in the unseen world. So basically, Jesus takes his listeners from the known and the familiar to the unknown and the unfamiliar. His parables are basically like a mirror. They help us see what is truly real, what is permanent, what is spiritual, through the things that those hearers are familiar with. Those things may be not real, they are temporary, and they are not spiritual. But that is what he did by using parables. And so today, I'm going to examine another parable that Jesus used. But before we get into it, I want us to understand it in a slightly broader context. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who was born blind. The Pharisees who were watching Jesus, they were trying to catch him in his words. So what they did is they investigated the miracle. And they found out from the man's parents that he had indeed been born blind. When the now seeing blind man was found by Jesus, he believed and he worshiped Jesus. And at this moment, Jesus had the following statement and interaction with the Pharisees. Oop, I keep on pushing the wrong thing. No? Am I doing something wrong, David? Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. Here's what he said, John 9:39-41. And Jesus declared, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this, and they asked him, "Are we blind too?" "If you were blind," Jesus replied, "you would not be guilty of sin. But since you claim you can see, your guilt remains." What we find is that the Pharisees clearly understood that Jesus was implying that they were blind. And Jesus is not one to beat around the bush. He put the onus directly on them. "Since you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Now, Jesus used parables for other reasons, and one of those was that he did not suffer critics lightly. Only those who come to Jesus in humility and eager to know the truths that he speaks about could understand the spiritual significance of the stories that he told. So that's the background to the parable that we're going to look at. Now, what I want you to understand is that Jesus was still speaking to these Pharisees when he told them what many call the parable of the sheepfold. Okay, it's parable of the sheepfold. That's what we're in. And appropriate enough, now that's the title for this message. Next screen, which should be blank. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now, if you open your Bibles to John chapter 10, you'll see this parable is rather long. Nonetheless, I think it's best to read it through in its entirety. I'll be using the Berean version. As we read through it, I want you to begin to think about each individual person or thing that is mentioned by Jesus and consider what each represents in the spiritual realm. We all know what each of them will represent in the natural realm. Now, I've broken the parable into three slides so that you can actually read it a little easier. I've had this bad tendency in the past to stick it all in one slide in the lettering is just too small, so here we go. Next one, okay. John 10:1-5. "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen for his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will flee from him because they do not recognize his voice." Next. John 10:6-10. Jesus spoke to them using this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So he said to them again, "Truly, truly, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in all its fullness." Yep, great. And then John 10:11-16. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf pounces on them and scatters the flock. The man runs away because he is a hired servant, is unconcerned for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in as well, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. Next. Aha, good. Yeah, we're on the right page. So, the thing I'd ask you to do is look for the different individual objects that you could find in this parable. Okay, so depending on how you looked at it, you might have come up with a list that is similar to this one. Next. Okay, I've called that the key elements of the parable of the sheepfold. So what are some of them? And actually, these are in the order in which they appear in the parable. You've got the sheepfold. You have the gate. You have the thief or the robber. And this is a shepherd. Then the gatekeeper is mentioned. The sheep are mentioned. Jesus talks about a stranger. Then he re-emphasizes that he's the good shepherd. He mentions the Father. He mentions other sheep. And he talks about one flock and one shepherd. So, okay. Now, now I've actually got two slides. I don't know how many of you have seen what a first century sheepfold looks like, but that's the closest picture I could find. And here's another one. There we go. That's the other one. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is there's only one legitimate way in and out of the sheepfold. But the question is, what does the sheepfold correspond to in the spirit realm? Now, some may say that it represents a church with all the believers who have been called out of the world. It sounds a little bit on the heavenly side, since we have so many believers in heaven and what have you. And so, it's not quite exactly what Jesus is describing here. It's not something that's happening in heaven. It's actually the church here on earth. There are true sheep inside the church here on earth, but there are also those who come into the church by some other way and not through the gate. In heaven, you don't have robbers and thieves climbing in, right? So he's given us a picture of the sheepfold that is the congregation of believers here on earth. Now, the gate, I think I go two here. Yep, and then the next one. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. What's that one doing there? Go. Let's see. Go back one. Oh, that's funny. I must have left it out. No, go down to go forward two more. Let's just see if I. Ah, there is. Okay, I've got those reversed. Sorry. There's the gate. Okay. The gate is clearly identified by Jesus as being he himself. Okay. He says, I am the gate of the sheep. He also says, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Now, Jesus is the only way into this group of true believers. In another place, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. So to be counted as belonging to the sheepfold, one must come through Jesus. He is the only way in. So then if you kind of back up, we'll go to the robber. That's supposed to be a robber. Okay. Now, if Andy were doing this, these pictures would be picture perfect. He does a fantastic job. And you'll see that when he's ministering. He brings incredible slides and does a wonderful job. I'm a little less accomplished when it comes to those things. So I just grab pictures and put them up there, try to explain them. Okay, so let's go back to this thief, this robber in the parable. Now, You could think that Jesus is referring to Satan, because in other scriptures, he's actually defined Satan as a thief and a liar. But that wouldn't be correct. This thief, this robber, is anyone who enters the sheepfold by some other means than the gate, by some other means than through Jesus. And we know that we have that. And we've been in churches where you know that there are people who are in the church, they act like they're believers and everything else, but they've never really been born again. They've never come to know the Lord. And so they are in the church, and part of the reason that they're there is that they actually want the blessings that come from having entered the gate. But they're not able to receive those blessings. They can't understand Scripture. They can't do anything because they haven't come through the gate that Jesus himself is. Okay, so now let's kind of go forward about maybe four, I'm guessing. Yeah, and one more. Aha, there we go. The shepherd. Huh. Handsome looking fella. Okay, we know who the shepherd is. None other than Jesus. And later on, as I said, he's going to identify himself as the good shepherd. The sheep distinguish Jesus from anyone else. How? They know his voice. They're in tune with Jesus because they know his word, the Bible. They know when what is being said matches up with the word of God. Because they know the scriptures, they're not deceived when someone proposes a different gospel. There may be people who speak in glowing and knowing terms about what the Bible has to say on a particular topic, but the sheep are tuned into the voice of Jesus, and they can discern when the teaching is false. They don't follow that voice. Let's continue on. Two more. Is it blanker than that? Okay, there we go. The gatekeeper. That's the best gatekeeper I could find. Okay. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Okay. The gatekeeper is the only one who opens the gate for the sheep as well as for the shepherd. Only those who are truly the sheep of Jesus are allowed to enter through the gate. Now, I believe the gatekeeper is a picture of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit woos people to Jesus, and when they're born again, he gives witness to their spirits that they have been born of God. That's the witness inside each one of us that lets us know that we have become God's children. We are thus allowed into the sheepfold. Welcome to the sheepfold, people. Next, let's try two more. Blank and then a... There we go. The sheep. Okay. Notice I picked some nice lily white sheep there. Yeah. And as I have mentioned, the sheep are those who have been truly born again. Now, they come in all sizes, colors, denominations, non-denominations, backgrounds, life experiences, male, female, whatever. They could be young, middle-aged, older. They may have an abundance or be relatively poor. They may be well-educated or hardly educated. But they all have this one thing in common. They've placed their trust for salvation in the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And only on that. And now we come to the stranger. Okay. I use the stranger. One would think this refers to Satan himself, but I think the context demonstrates that it is someone who seems to speak on behalf of Jesus, but is not really sent by him. This would be someone who claims to exercise a spiritual office, say a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, but who is leading those who follow him in the wrong way. I think of people like James Jones and spiritists and those who produce horoscopes or encourage the use of the black arts. Think of people like the Joseph Smiths of the world. They're everywhere. They all have a message from God. They all claim to know the truth and the way. But they're false. And the sheep know it. So they don't follow them. But how many people don't we know that fall into all sorts of errors because they do not know the way? They do not know Jesus. All right, now we'll go to the Good Shepherd. That's a little closer to what we think of when we think of the Good Shepherd. Jesus as I said, further identified himself not just as the shepherd of the sheep, but as the good shepherd. Now, the distinctive feature of the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. No other religious figure that has ever appeared on this earth has made such an outlandish claim. Unlike those who are led by Satan to promulgate a religious system that will lead one to God, Jesus demonstrates his identity as the good shepherd by taking the sins of the world upon himself, paying the death penalty for those sins, and providing eternal life to those who place their trust in him. There's no one else who's done that. None at all. And you can search in vain. Next. Now we're going to the Father, and this is not a very good picture of the Father, but it's the best I could do. We know that God the Father is in heaven. We don't have a clear picture of what he looks like, especially not as long as we're in these earthly bodies. But when we are in heaven, we'll see him as he is. But nonetheless, the Father is an important actor in this parable because he is the one who cannot stand to have sin in front of him. The angels of heaven tell us that his ultimate nature is one of being holy. This is what they say in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory. The penalty for sin was always death. Jesus paid that price so we could be redeemed and stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus, not in our own righteousness. Next, going two more. There we go. Other sheep. I've found some sheep that look a little different than the other ones. Now, this is a supply that is supposed to represent the other sheep of whom Jesus spoke. Now, the context is clear. The sheep that he spoke of previously are the Jews who had accepted Jesus the Messiah and promised that was promised by God. They've been born again, just as Jesus told Nicodemus it was necessary. The other sheep are those who are non-Jews, that is to say Gentiles, that is to say most of us in this room, not all of us, but I think most of us. Remember that it took more than a decade before the followers of Jesus understood that the salvation that he provided was available to the non-Jew. It was quite a while before Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28 what we all understand now, namely, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So that sheepfold is this big, huge conglomeration of people. And one thing I've said, I don't know if I mentioned this in the past, but I remember one time mentioning this at the men's breakfast, and they thought I was, so what do you mean? And I said, you know, there's something about the United States that reminds me of heaven. Something about the United States that reminds you of heaven. Well, John, have you lost your mind? You know, what could possibly? I said, yeah. I said, this is the only country on earth where you could say that we've got people from almost every nation and tongue and tribe. And that's what we find is in heaven. That's what the vision that John had. That before the throne were individuals, people from every nation, every language, every tribe, worshiping God. Our country comes closest to that in those terms. So that was just an aside. Okay, one more. Going in, and then there we go. All right, I tried to find something that shows a mixed flock of sheep being led by one shepherd. In the past, I think many of you remember that people thought that Jews had to become Christians. You couldn't remain a Jew and be a believer, as it was. Now, that's never been the case. The fact is that the Gentiles were grafted into the vine, into Jesus. This realization is described in Acts chapter 10 when Peter is led by the Holy Spirit to the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. God had shown Peter that he was not to call unclean what God had made clean. This was a startling revelation to the apostles, but it had been promised by God long before. Under Jesus, we all become one in Christ Jesus, regardless of our backgrounds, and as long as we have entered through the gate. Okay, so now hopefully these explanations, while not complete, help us to understand the parable of the sheepfold a bit more completely. But I do have a question. And I'm wondering, how many of you noticed that there's a paradox within that parable? I think if you flip it one more, it'll go blank. There we go. Thank you. Something that might make you think, hey, that doesn't seem to make sense. Now, whenever you find something that looks like a paradox of Scripture, what you need to do is to ask God to show you why it is not a paradox. But when you do, you have to ask humbly. You have to seek His face, seek His word, and wait patiently for His insight. Now, the paradox I'm speaking about is this. In the parable, Jesus very emphatically says that He is the gate of the sheepfold. Now, He's the gate of the sheepfold, but He also says just as emphatically that He is the good shepherd. So how can He be both? Now, in the natural, He can't, okay? In the natural, I can't take my body and make it into a gate. Now, I've read any number of explanations about how to understand this particular paradox, but there was one that, to me, rings most true, and it's this. Jesus is the gate. Is Jesus crucified? His atoning death, His shed blood. Jesus, as the good shepherd, is Jesus resurrected. He's able to give eternal life to those who believe in Him. So, only when we've entered into the sheepfold through His death on the cross and we're called by His name, can we then follow Him. So having been born again, we're now members of the sheepfold. He calls us by name, and now we follow Him as the good shepherd. Isn't it great to know that you've got a good shepherd that's leading you? That we hear His voice? Let's apply this a little bit in our lives. The parable revolves around the sheep. And that's who we are. We're the sheep in the sheepfold. And He mentioned those at the beginning of the parable. And this is, here it is. Let's flip up one more. There it goes. Going back to what He had said before, John 10, 2-4. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen for his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So what I want to do is point out here three distinguishing marks of his sheep. I think you can flip it one more. Yeah, okay, that's good. Thank you. Here's the first one. The sheep are the ones that enter by the gate. They acknowledge that they're sinners, and they put their trust in Him. They have come to an end of themselves, and they depend solely on Him. They recognize their need for a Savior, a deliverer. They are the ones who entered the sheepfold through the gate of His atoning death. Number two, the sheep hear His voice, and He calls them by name. This speaks to one's own direct personal relationship with Jesus. The sheep reject the voice of others. Jesus leads those who can hear His voice. They wait attentively for that unique voice which is discerned by the Spirit that He's given us. And the other thing is the sheep follow Him. They're obedient to what He has to say. They do what He tells them to do. And this speaks again to a direct relationship between themselves and Jesus. That relationship leads the sheep to be obedient. The sheep are not of a particular denomination or who practice a particular form of religion. They can be found in many places, but what makes them sheep is that they've been born again. Now, have you ever had the experience of barely speaking to someone and immediately you know that they're believers, fellow sheep? Their spirit witnesses to our spirits that they have had the same born-again experience that we've had. That's a really pretty neat thing when it happens. So what is the takeaway? It's just this. The better we know the voice of our master, the more fully we are able to follow him. We won't get lost or stray away from him because we're constantly listening for his voice in our hearts. We're constantly in his word. We're constantly discerning the things that we hear to see if they match up with what he has given us in his word. Now, I just pray that we will all continue in our walk with the Lord, and that as we draw closer to Jesus, as John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. All those who are able to stand, please stand for closing prayer. Lord, just we want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Father, for just the many times that you speak to us, that you show us how much you care. I just ask, Lord, that with this message we will be encouraged to work, just to walk closer to you, to hear the voice of our good shepherd, to put into practice the things that he's telling us, to be ever attentive, Lord, and always communing with you, that our relationship with you draws closer and closer and deeper and deeper. Thank you so much for saving us. Thank you so much for giving us eternal life. And that life, we know, is in your Son. We thank you and we praise you in his precious name. Amen.